Hi all, I'm Ira Teicher, a real estate partner in Strux Miami office.
Hi all, I'm Tim DeKaiser, also a real estate partner in Strux Miami office.
Okay, let's jump right into it. Tim, tell us a bit about your practice and the clients you represent.
Sure. So I pride myself on having a really, well-balanced and diverse practice. I like to think of myself as a real estate generalist, so I will represent clients in kind of the full life cycle of an asset, from acquisition to disposition, including joint ventures, financing, leasing, kind of anything in between that the client needs. I also, because I have such a broad practice, will represent a diverse group of types of clients. So I've worked with developers, I've worked with institutional investors, I've worked with, all sorts of different funds and types of real estate companies. Pretty much if it's touches and concerns real estate, those are the type of people I work with.
Okay, thank you. And as Strux's most recent partner in Miami, can I ask what brought you to Strux?
Sure. So, it took me a little while to get to Miami. I started my career up in D.C., made my way to New York for a while, back to D.C., and then eventually, like most people these days, I'm moving down to Florida for a multitude of reasons. So when I came to Miami, I actually started another firm, a very good local firm here, and got a good bearing on the local market. But I always kind of missed working in that New York environment and that New York kind of energy. And so I made the decision that what really made sense to me is to look for someone that has a good Miami outpost, but also was really tied to a New York firm that would kind of give me that energy and feel of practicing kind of the real cutting edge good transactions.
In that vein, I guess, what are some current real estate trends that you're seeing in the South Florida market?
So the South Florida market's been going really crazy over the last couple of years. And like other places in the country, we're seeing a lot of increased development and increased demand as people tend to move here in droves. So the first thing that kind of really pops out to me is I'm seeing the condo markets coming back in a big way. So when I first moved here about 3 years ago, when I was looking for a place to live, everyone kept telling me, we have about 5 years of backlog in condos. And I think that was really true at the point, but all of that backlog has really disappeared during the pandemic as everyone was moving down here. So what you're seeing is a lot of new developments that are coming in, particularly in the luxury space, that really kind of epitomize Miami development. So a lot of these are branded buildings. You see developers pairing up with places like fashion houses that are like Missoni and Edgewater. You have high-end retailers like Baccarat and Brickell, car companies, the Bentley development in Sunny Isles, the Aston Martin building in downtown. And of course, your typical hospitality brands, such as the new Mammoth Waldorf Astoria project that's going in, and the new St. Regis project that's coming in South Brickell. Another kind of trend that you're seeing and what you hear from developers is there's just really no land anymore. So you're looking at people who are either trying to find projects that are outside the downtown area, or you're looking at people who are taking redevelopment projects on or trying to do projects that maybe weren't as desirable 3 or 4 years ago. Mass Capital just picked up probably the biggest parcel that was really left downtown. So they got that large parcel in South Brickell that's near the SLS building. But now you're seeing redevelopment projects like the St. Regis in Brickell that just got announced. Hamilton on the Bay is going to get redeveloped, and Grove Isle looks like it's finally going to have its last piece of the puzzle in the form of the Ugo Colombo Vita building. And then finally, I would say something that's more of a nationwide trend, but certainly is creeping down to South Florida, is the propagation of these SFR developments or single family rentals. So in that situation, you have a developer that's going to, instead of creating a planned community and then selling off the units one by one, they're going to hold on to them and then rent them out to people and actually keep the property. So I think that's kind of a factor of the next generation of folks who are, instead of looking to buying either because they're priced out or because they just don't really want all the headaches that go with maintaining a house, that's going to be attractive to kind of the younger buyers that are coming up.
Tim, the migration of people down to South Florida, which is well documented, has brought a movement of new capital and development expertise from cities around the country, such as New York. Can you share with us your thoughts as to what this means for the market generally?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it means is the market's growing up. I think as additional capital sources come down here with New York experience, you're going to see a lot more complex transactions and the type of transactions that really require full service attention in order to be timely and get things done in the speed that the clients are expecting. I mean, do you think that's your experience?
Definitely. I see a lot of interesting dynamics in the market resulting from this migration. To your point, I think the appetite for legal work is only increasing. The work is getting certainly more sophisticated, commensurate with the expansion and growth in the market. I'm also seeing product itself developing. On the condo side, you're seeing branded buildings and development akin to what we have been seeing in other cities around the country like New York. And even on, let's say, the office and commercial side, we're seeing new trends develop, which I think result from this migration. We recently represented a client in connection with the acquisition of an office building on South Beach, which will be repositioned as a boutique office building, which will contain amenities that are comparable to those found in high-end residential products, such as gyms, rooftop amenity overlooking the ocean, concierge service. In my mind, a lot of this is a result of the demands and the need to service a lot of the Northeasterners or others who are moving down here. Now, getting back on track, Tim, I'll ask you one final question. Do you foresee any challenges that Miami will face in light of all these trends?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issue you're going to run into is infrastructure and transportation. You know, like any growing city, in order to maximize the growth, you need to make sure that you're providing sufficient infrastructure and transportation, because if you continue to get denser without actually building those things out, it's just going to result in a city that no one wants to live in. So, you know, we talked about earlier the Waldorf Astoria building, for instance. You know, according to developers of that building, it's going to be the largest residential and hotel property south of New York. So if you're cramming all these additional people into the smaller city spaces, you know, you're also going to get a lot more logjam, and Miami as a city doesn't really have a ton of public transportation. So, you know, there's probably a couple of different ways the city can address that. They can build out things like the Metro Mover downtown, the Metro Rail that currently services other neighborhoods. You know, there's been projects such as the monorail that's been anticipated to be coming for quite some time. There were rumors that Elon Musk is going to put a boring tunnel between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So, you know, all those things could be really exciting if they actually come to bear. Or the other option is that, quite frankly, it just might turn into a city where people spend, you know, 95% of their time living and working in a small neighborhood, and they never really leave unless they need to go run some errands on the weekend. So I really think that there are ways that we can address these problems, but that's going to be the biggest challenge that we're going to face as we continue to add more density to the city and the downtown area.
Thank you, Tim. We're excited and happy for you to join the Strook team. Thank you all for listening. We hope you found this to be both engaging and informative. If we can be of any assistance at all, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thanks, Ira. It was great chatting with you, and I look forward to being part of the team moving forward.